studios of KPCW in Park City. It's This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our connections with it. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak.
Well, during the first half of the show today, Katie Wang is joining us to talk about the Park City Film Series plans for Earth Day and Earth Month. They'll be celebrating by screening a series of films in partnership with local environmental nonprofits. That includes films like Tomorrow, like Rancher Farmer Fisherman, which we recently saw at Sundance, and like Antarctica, Ice and Sky.
Wow. All that.
That's right.
For Earth Month.
Yep.
That's what April is, right?
Yep.
I got to remember. Okay.
I can't wait until Earth Year. It keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Earth Season would be a nice start. All right. And then in the second half, we got a bunch of news items to catch up on. This administration's plans to significantly reduce the budget and staffing at the former EPA, I like to call it. What are these cuts? What programs will be impacted? And how might these reductions in budget, staffing, and research impact us here in Park City and Summit County?
Also, Rocky Mountain Power recently announced that they plan to build an 1,100-megawatt wind farm and associated transmission lines in southwestern Wyoming. They previously had no plans to do this, so why the change? And what does it mean to their power portfolio and Park City Municipal's efforts to reach net zero?
We don't take phone calls during the show, but you can join in on today's discussion by posting your comments and questions to our Facebook page, KPCW This Green Earth. Our connections with and impacts upon the environment, that's what This Green Earth is all about. Stay with us.
Support for KPCW provided by United Concerts presenting Willie Nelson and Casey Musgraves at USANA Amphitheater on August 13th. Tickets on sale Friday at 10 a.m. at SmithTix Outlets and SmithTix.com. Willie Nelson and Casey Musgraves at USANA Amphitheater on August 13th.
Welcome to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues and concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak.
I'm Nell Larson.
And joining us in this studio is Katie Wang.
Good morning.
Oh, hold on, Kate. Let me.
Good morning.
You're going to need a mic.
How about that one? All right.
With
I have all the mics on for you.
Thank you.
Park City Film Series, and you got a bunch of films celebrating Earth Month.
Yes. We started this last year. Every year for April, we always have an environmental film, as you know, with our Real Community Series. We partner with local nonprofit organizations to help elevate their mission through film. And last year, we came upon a treasure trove of environmental films. Mm-hmm. And so we partnered with three of our local nonprofits, environmental nonprofits, and it went over tremendously well. And so this year, we said, let's do a repeat. Why not? Let's do this every year. So now
right.
It is codified into our law here at the Film Series. So we actually did four every Thursday of this month. We have had a different film, or will be having in the future, a different film about a conservation issue that we feel is important for our community and help to engage people in these issues. And, you know, to a certain degree, I think environmental issues are depressing on the outside.
There's a possibility
that things are not going well in the climate. But there's also a lot of inspiration out there. And communities, Park City is part of that, I think, that conversation are really being creative and innovative in terms of how they're addressing carbon emissions, climate change, you know, and different conservation issues. And so that's really what the series is all about. So this coming Thursday, we have a film that's actually kind of a great overview. It's a documentary out of France called Demain in France, or Tomorrow, which has caused some confusion. The film is not being shown tomorrow, Wednesday. It is the name of the film is Tomorrow.
And it's being shown Thursday.
It'll be shown
the
Thursday.
Day after tomorrow.
Yes, the day after tomorrow. But what they've done is they are looking at communities across the globe that are just creatively addressing conservation issues. One of my favorite examples is there's a town in France where they have planted every piece of arable land, you know, every piece of dirt is growing food. So you can be outside the police station, pulling a carrot out of the ground, clipping your basil while you're waiting for the bus. But literally the median, everything. This is beyond your imagining of a community garden. It's literally everything.
And it's just amazing. The town becomes the garden.
The town becomes the garden. And everyone gets to use it. Everyone takes care of it. And it's just this fantastic vision of a community coming together and feeding itself and feeding each other. And so I love that. And then there's another one, and it started actually in Switzerland, so you know it's a good idea, where these communities are creating local currency that has to be spent and used locally. So you're keeping the money internal, right? And so they're creative about it. And so that's, you know, they have the Bristol pound and they have a 21 pound note because why not? but it's just a really good way to encourage local businesses to source and spend locally.
I'm sorry, but there's a couple communities in the States that have local bus. Isn't it started with Berkshire Bucks or so? Small towns in Western Massachusetts that established
their own. You can always
count
on Western Mass.
Western Mass.
Really?
That's right.
Okay.
Yes. All right. The home of Emerson.
That established their local local currency.
Yeah. And what a fantastic idea that you are creating. And it was created in Switzerland because there was an economic crisis. But it's just you can't hoard it. Right, there's no way to invest it. You don't earn interest on this money, so you're forced to just spend it, and then to spend it locally with other people
merchants who will accept it.
Money, right? Exactly.
Right.
And
okay.
So just
that's
ideas
example.
Like that are just really, really creative. So we're partnering with Park City Municipal on that film because we're doing great things in our own community. Just as you alluded to in the introduction, the Net Zero Initiative, and so we'll have Celia Peterson talking about that initiative and kind of how one can engage with that in our own community and hopefully be inspired by what other communities are doing around the world that maybe we can bring here back to Park City.
Great.
Those are such like fanciful ideas, for lack of a better word. It sounds like a storybook or something, a kid's story, you know, planting all of the, like, every piece of arable land or having a local currency, you know.
Yeah, but it works. And that's what's so exciting about it is that you see these ideas that seemingly are, you know, fantastical, but they're actually working. And, you know, these people just came up with this crazy idea and they're like, let's see if it can happen we can put it into practice. And they do, and they can.
It works because the residents want it to work.
Right.
And are willing to make it work. And it may take some sacrifices, you know, that local currency idea may take some sacrifices on their parts, but they want it to work.
Well, and the government's supporting them too, that it's a partnership.
Yeah.
So it is grassroots. It's top up, bottom, you know, bottom up, top down.
Right.
And that, I think, is, you know, partnership in the truest sense of the word. I mean, so, you know, looking at you're in India, United States, you know, almost every, I think, continent on the globe is covered. Perhaps not Antarctica.
Okay.
But maybe not that. But we
maybe
have
not the target area. Yeah.
Exactly.
So before we get into the other films, I wanted to ask about something you mentioned kind of in the intro. You said last year there was just, you know, like a plethora of these great environmental films. Is this something that you're seeing more and more? Like, do you feel like this environmental documentary genre is exploding, or is it?
I think it's exploding in an interesting way. There are so many films about climate change, and it is incredibly difficult to find a film that is expanding the conversation and taking it to a different level. Those of us that have been involved in the conservation world and have been talking about climate change for a long time, it's the same old story over and over again. You know, I mean, it was great to see An Inconvenient Truth 2, but it was really, and they said this in the intro, you know, it was really about Al Gore, right? It wasn't kind of moving the conversation about climate change, I thought, much further along or introducing any new concepts other than kind of how, you know, the behind-the-scenes mechanisms of the climate of the Paris Accord. But what is interesting is you are seeing films like Tomorrow and like Rancher, Farmer, Fisherman, where pieces of success, and really success, I think, is what, you know, there has to be a note of hope that is what's going to change the conversation. Because if you're always looking at the gloom and doom of, oh, we're all going to go to hell in a handbasket and the earth is going to burn to a crisp, then that's where we're going to go. But if you can imagine these communities, like in the film Tomorrow, where people are coming together and they are creating positive solutions and they are growing their own food and they are creating sustainable democracies, then that's the vision we want to go towards, right? And so I am seeing more specific films, food waste, you know, conservation partnerships like in Rancher, Farmer, Fisherman that are coming out that are really kind of more pinpointing ideas and positive solutions that people can be inspired by versus more of these. I mean, they're still coming out, but kind of the kind of global look at climate change and you know, what's going mm-hmm. wrong with the environment, for lack of a better way of kind of talking about it, that we're seeing few of those coming along because they seem to be so repetitive. They're not gaining. Maybe they'll come out, but you almost never see them in theaters because they're just not yeah. getting traction outside of the festival circuit.
It seems then it's films that are beginning to showcase ideas of either mitigation, adaptation, mm-hmm. or resiliency. You know, they're moving forward. The conversation about whether or not the planet's getting warmer, that's done.
Right. We've kind We're of, done other with than that. Certain people in the government
sure.
right. who need not to be named.
Right. And that's still a problem.
Which is a problem, and that's something
but
we kind of...
the rest of us
right.
are moving forward to do something about it. And that's, I guess, these the films that are landing on your desk, quote unquote, are attempting to showcase. So are you sitting there reviewing these things? Are you the film...
I am.
Official film vetter?
Yes. So George Domalski programs our weekend films, so our feature films that we get. And then I program all of our Thursday night and kind of special interest films, which is really fun because they're so diverse. And certainly the environment is something that I'm passionate about. So it's really fun to see what's out there and what we could bring to our community that will move the conversation forward and be inspiring to people and not just this repetition. You know, same old story, mm-hmm. just told by a different filmmaker.
As somebody that, like, both works and is personally interested in, right, the environmental field, and I'm probably speaking for Chris here, too, you know, you can only watch so many environmental documentaries before yeah. you just kind of reach your maximum level of, like, it's too much, it's too hard.
Right.
You know, it's like... it takes an act
What's
of emotional strength. Like, it's like a feat of strength to watch another one. So it's fun to have some of these, like, positive, creative films.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's motivating.
Yeah. Well, yeah, okay. Exactly.
And that's what's
inspirational.
Exciting. Yeah. I mean, Rancher, yeah. Farmer, Fisherman, which is the next film.
All right. So what's about, let's talk about
that.
Nice
little segue to that. So that's the film that we have on April 20th. All the times are different for the film. So tomorrow, the film is going to be on the 13th at 7. Rancher, Farmer, Fisherman will be on the 20th at 6:30. These are all free screenings. But this is a film that premiered at Sundance, and it's about these, I think, unusual conservation partnerships is probably the best way to describe it. It's based on a book, and as the title suggests, it's about the ranching community, the farming community, and the fishing community. And it starts out with a rancher that Nell got to interview. And he, in partnership in Montana with his fellow ranchers, are working with the Nature Conservancy to try and preserve open space up near the Bob Marshall Wilderness and the Centennials. And it's been amazingly successful, and they have similar goals in terms of they don't want condos, you know, big trophy homes to go on this land. They want it to remain open and free, and they're coming at it from different perspectives, right? I mean, one, the ranchers want their cattle and animals to be able to range free. And, of course, the conservationists want this, you know, the view shed to be preserved and obviously local ecosystems. But, you know, it works together. Ranchers, I think, you know, many of us think of ranchers as just kind of destroying the land. And that's certainly, there's a long history of that. But there are a lot of ranchers that are conservation minded and they realize the health of the land impacts their animals. And that's what they're, you know, what they also want to preserve. And so it kind of follows these different communities and the successes that they've had through these partnerships from the right and the left kind of coming together and saying, okay, what's our common goal? How do we get there? What's the best way to achieve the health of the planet, the health of our economy? And, you know, they are more synergistic, I think, than most people think at the outset.
So that film is what I'm really excited about. That's Swanner Eco Center is partnering with a film series on that. And Chris and I, so this originated as a book. This film was called... or the book was called Rancher, Farmer, Fisherman. And we did an interview with the author, maybe a year ago?
Yes.
And then we were lucky enough to interview the whole team that put the film together, the author and Dusty, the rancher that's featured, and the director, the producer. Oh, that's right. Chris was out of town, so I did that. and it was really... incredible to talk to these people and hear the inspiration that they had drawn from these stories, and the film itself is an enjoyable one to watch, and I think it resonates also here in Summit County where we do see some of those partnerships. We have, you know, lots of land conservation happening here in the city and the county. I mean, Bonanza Flats is like Exhibit A right now, but there are a lot of efforts going on, and so we thought it would be a fun one to show the community. We're excited about that.
And I think what's really interesting about it is, you know, my background is, you know, in environmental policy, so mm-hmm. I was aware of a lot of these partnerships. So for me, it was not mm-hmm. a new conversation.
Yeah.
But to hear everyone coming out of the theater in Sundance saying, oh my God, just they were so inspired. And you know, some of them knew about the ranching partnerships because they're from the West. They had no idea what was going on in the heartland, no idea what was going on, you know, down in the Gulf Coast. Mm-hmm. And so they were so inspired to see that these partnerships were going on and they were really having a positive impact. And so to hear kind of all this going around, it kind of reminds you, you know, as you said, you get a little jaded watching all these these films, but to realize that this is a new concept for some people. And these partnerships, while not necessarily new, right? They've been ongoing for years and years. They haven't gotten a lot of visibility, right? Except for maybe the people who are in grad school like I was studying them.
Yes, I was just going to say it's the old common ground principle that you learn about. And
outside the halls of the ivory tower. And they should be. And because it is important, I think, for people to know that we can be on whatever side of the aisle we're on, but we can come together if we have a common cause.
Are they all successful? So these are all success stories?
Yes. And they do show how hard, I mean, these were hard-won victories.
Because I'd be interested in the ones that don't succeed. The lessons you can learn from sometimes the ones that don't succeed, too.
Know, and I was actually just, you know, rewatching the movie this morning just to kind of refresh my memory of some of them. And it's, you know, I mean, certainly in the fishing community, it is an ongoing battle because the fishing quotas are very controversial. Yeah. On the commercial fishermen seem to be together. It's the recreational fishers who want more catches and they want to go out and fish whenever they want to. And it's, you know, they are often at odds with each other. And so you get the sense at the end of the film that while there is a victory now, they've got to work hard to hold that ground.
Right.
So it is, I think, you know, they don't candy coat it.
So it's ongoing.
It's an ongoing conversation.
Yeah. Okay.
And certainly in the conservation world, until you lock up the land, it's...
We're speaking with Katie Wang, executive director of the Park City Film Series. We're talking about films coming up for Earth Month.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a couple more to cover. And I want to cover the one you showed last week.
Yeah.
Give a recap on that. But let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll continue the conversation. It's This Green Earth.
This is Steve Roney with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Utah Properties. We continue to be proud supporters of KPCW, our local source for Park City news. Our agents are Summit and Wasatch County's source for real estate, and we can be reached at bhhsutah.com.
Hi, I'm Carolyn with Recycle Utah. Did you know that we accept light bulbs for recycling? Any compact fluorescent light bulb, the coiled bulbs, or the fluorescent tubes up to 4 feet long are accepted at the recycling center.
Recycle Utah is your community nonprofit recycling center since 1990 and a KPCW supporter.
Welcome back to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues and concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak.
I'm Mel Larson.
And Katie Wang is in studio with us this morning to talk about a number of documentaries, environmental-based documentaries, all being shown by the Park City Film Series. This month.
And I do
each
want to
Thursday.
Take a moment, yes, to thank our partners, but also our sponsors. So we are partnering with, with Swanner Eco Center, Preserve and Eco Center, the Climate Reality Project, and with Recycle Utah, which is our recap from last week. But our sponsors for the Real Community Series, the Park City Community Foundation, the Promontory Foundation, and the Summit County RAPTAC. So we couldn't do all this for free without the support that we receive from the community.
Do you get any federal funding?
We get a small amount of federal funding, and that does actually support the Real Community Series as well. But we are very fortunate in our community to have some great foundations. And certainly the RAPTAC is tremendously important to all of us in the arts world in terms of supporting our operations.
Is your federal funding going to be in the past tense?
We hope not, but this is the first year we can apply for. We could have applied for more, so we shall see. That might we still might continue to receive a small amount of money from the federal government. But.
Right. Okay, but it's not. It's a small percentage of your overall funding.
Yes, and we purposely diversify our funding sources just for that reason, because you never know. The winds change and
you never know.
Funding goes
now
away.
We do.
Yes.
Okay. So we got a couple more films to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
The next one on the list is Antarctica, Ice and Sky.
Yes.
When is that?
So that is going to be on the 27th, and that's with the Citizens Climate Lobby. It is a documentary that is just coming out. All of these are brand new films, kind of hitting the scene. So you can't see them anywhere else, mm-hmm. and certainly not on the big screen in many places. But this is about the French explorer and scientist Claude Lorius, who was the first scientist over 60 years ago to discover the ice core method in Antarctica. So coring the ice and discovering what's going on in the atmosphere, in the climate over time. And so his research definitively proved that climate change is man-made, that our man's activities are changing our climate and making it warmer. So using archival footage tracks his time in Antarctica over the past 60 years. And you can see, of course, just like you could with Chasing Ice, how much that environment has changed over time and how the ice is retreating.
Antarctica, we're talking about, yep. Not the Arctic.
Yes, Antarctica.
Okay, Antarctica.
Yep, so that's where he is. And so we'll have Tesla with the Citizens Climate Lobby. They are bringing Tesla up here with some cars for display purposes. And they'll be talking about their master plan and their gigafactories, which are pretty exciting, I think, the gigafactories, in terms of making electric cars
batteries.
More affordable, the batteries.
Right.
Well, you make the batteries more affordable, and then the cars become infinitely more affordable. And then, you know, there's certainly the issue of where does that electricity come from, which you'll talk about later. But to make it more accessible to the average person, I think is important and an exciting.
Oh, they're only going to be $25,000 cars? Is that it? Is that
down from $200,000 or whatever the base model goes
we'll
for
take
these
it.
Days?
But
around 80.
You've got to start somewhere. Chris.
Okay,
that's right.
But that's Antarctica, Ice and Sky.
Yes, on the 27th.
On the 27th. Is that at some odd time?
And that
too,
will be at
Katie?
7 o'clock.
That'll be
7 o'clock. No, they're all at 7.
I guess we're
except
just
for
the outlier.
It's at 6:30. Yeah,
with a 6:30 film.
Okay.
Yes.
Great.
So kind of mix that up.
Now let's loop back. You showed a film last week.
Yes.
As part of this.
Yep. So our first film in the series, we partner with Recycle Utah every year, and this year we are focusing on e-waste, and so it's a film called Death by Design. And it's really about the planned obsolescence of personal electronic equipment and the both environmental impacts that's having and the health impacts of that. Everything from, love canal type scenarios where you have factories in the U.S. And certainly overseas where you just see an enormous amount of waste coming out of these factories on the manufacturing side and just unregulated pollution and all the way to the end of life. Which is, as we said, planned obsolescence. So it's a very short lifespan for your phones and computers. That how they're being disposed of is also having environmental impacts. You'll see scenes in China where people are burning the motherboards of computers mm-hmm. to get the gold
right.
off of it. And, you know, there's little kids
sitting
there.
The precious metals that are on the board, right.
Yeah, zero regulations.
Over
an
open flame, open
right.
fire.
Exactly. There's no OSHA involved. With this. But then what's exciting, as I said, all of these films, we're trying to pick films that have positive impacts as well, that it's not just the gloom and doom, because that's what you would, that's all you can think about, that's all you can imagine and achieve. But you have this whole group of people called fixers, or they call themselves the fixers, and how they are, as an example, with an iPhone, part of the reason why it doesn't last very long is you can't replace the battery because the screw to unlock your case is a proprietary screw with a proprietary screwdriver. So this man has made it his mission to go to China and make that screwdriver, and he will send you a kit with instructions and the battery of how to open your iPhone and put the new battery in. So now it will last twice as long or three times as long as it would normally. And so there are people that are really looking at, okay, how do we extend the life cycle of these electronic equipment? And then also how do we make them more environmentally sound and less impactful from the get-go? Using better factories that have facilities that will actually not just dump the raw pollution right into the river to the component parts that can be, extended. You're using wood instead of, metals. It's really creative and I think and exciting. But, the health impacts, I think, are much larger than most of us can imagine. And we had Dr. Brian Mensch from Utah Physicians for Healthy Environment speak after the film. And it was just, it was pretty incredible to hear.
He's a great speaker.
He's a fantastic mm-hmm. speaker. And just how many pollutants are in the air that we don't even know about. I mean, I think of one of his statistics were something like, 75% of the people in the theater at that one time probably have Roundup in their system if they were tested. That it's so pervasive these chemicals in our environment, heavy metals from the electronics, you know, industry, Roundup certainly from agriculture, that it's just out there and it's in us. And to add on to that, it's not just one, you know, chemical we're talking about. It's a cumulative impact that all of these chemicals together have that no one really knows what that's going to do. And so really it's in all of our best interests to reduce the amount of pollutants in the environment at any level from anywhere, because with the prevailing winds, we're all going to be impacted.
Yeah. No disagreement there.
Period. I mean,
the synergistic effects are completely unknown.
Right.
Something the EPA has been trying to do research on over the decades, and that budget is about to be cut. We'll cover that story.
The agency formerly known as.
That's right. But before we wrap up with this, should we just kind of run through the film schedule quickly? It's a lot, and I want to make sure people have got it down.
Yeah. So we have our first one. Well, we had Death by Design last week, but on Thursday the 13th, we have the documentary Tomorrow at 7 p.m. on April 20th.
And that's with the Park City Municipal?
Park City Municipal Corp. Yep, thank you. April 20th at 6:30 p.m., we're partnering with Swanner Preserve and Eco Center to show the documentary Rancher, Farmer, Fisherman, which just premiered here at Sundance. And then on the 27th, with the Citizens Climate Lobby, we are partnering to show the documentary Antarctica, Ice, and Sky, and that will be at 7 p.m. All of these are free and open to the public. We encourage you to bring your friends and your family. They are all family appropriate, as long as you're okay with the gloom and doom of some of these. But
it's reality. It's, you know, that's...
As discussed... Yes. Most of them are relatively
positive.
It's the
reality of the situation.
It's the reality. You're right. It is not. You're right. The better way of saying it, this is the reality, and it is not meant to be. None of them are positioned as, you know, the world is coming to an end.
Right. The sky is falling.
This is what's happening, and this is how we can.
We're addressing the reality.
Exactly.
Is there any Q&A after these films? I think there should be, particularly for something, a film like Tomorrow.
Tomorrow we'll have an introduction with Celia Peterson from Park City Municipal Corp. So she'll be talking about what's going on in Park City with the Net Zero Initiative.
Okay.
And but they have actually a little video clip that they've put together about
that. But I think it would be great to get people's inputs about what else could we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Net Zero, that's what the municipality's doing.
Right.
To get Net Zero. But what else could we do? Could we plant vegetables all around this town? Could we build more community-based gardens in this town? The answer is yes. The short answer is yes. So how do we get there?
Right.
You know, who would embrace that? You know, and what else could we do? What else maybe people are doing that we don't know about? I think it's great to get, you know, the public's input on some of these. And the same thing goes with Rancher, Farmer, Fisherman. What kind of collaboration is going on around Summit County? We talked that it is happening. Mm-hmm. So maybe, you know, localize these stories of behind these two films. That would be really interesting afterwards. I'm sure there'll be people who, you know, there's always people who want to talk about these issues, right?
And, you know, that's what we hope, is that we spark people's imaginations and inspire them to connect with the conservation groups that we already have in our community that are doing great things. And if they're finding that there's a gap, that there is no one that wants to plant the entire town with carrots or whatever, then they can, you know, be empowered to find like-minded individuals to make that happen. And that's what's, I think, great about living in a small town, is that, you know, as someone that was part of the group that started the community gardens in our leadership class, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, that if you have enough people with you, it doesn't take a lot to really get things in motion with the town our size. So it's a pretty exciting opportunity to make positive change. So if you go to parkcityfilmseries.org, you can look up the times and check out trailers for all the films.
Right.
But as I said, they're free and open to the public, so there's no risk. Get some popcorn.
And get some refreshments.
Get some refreshments. Check it out, you know, and be inspired. And bring your friends and family and have a great conversation.
Just hang out.
What couple of films, I wouldn't say didn't make the cut, but because of timing and, you know, you only have so much room for so many films. Were there a couple other films that you would have liked to have shown or anything else that people might want to watch?
Well, there are some great films coming up. Chasing Coral is one that premiered here at Sundance. And sadly, the vision and the storyline in that film about the demise of the coral reefs is coming to a quick reality in the Great Barrier Reef. But we are looking at bringing that film back to the community. It was acquired by Netflix, so there was a little bit of a lag in terms of when that window of availability will open up. My understanding is it usually has to premiere first on Netflix and then it can go out to the community. But we are working on that. And then
that was a beautiful film.
And devastating. But
devastating
beautiful.
And heart-wrenching.
You don't realize if you've never been, and I've not been to the Great Barrier Reef, how beautiful it is and really what it means to lose it.
Yeah.
And Jeff Orlowski is an incredible filmmaker. So
I'm
looking forward to bring that back. And then there are other films that we're looking at that are more around food waste. And looking at it creatively.
One of Katie Wang's favorite topics.
One of my favorite topics,
know.
Yes. We had Just Eat It last year in Theater of Life in the fall. And there's another film that kind of brings those together where it looks at food waste in the consumer environment. So the food that you're wasting at your table and the food that's being wasted in restaurants. And how can we repurpose those? And in my world, we call those leftovers. But how can we get leftovers back into the food cycle in a way that, of course, is healthy? Right, it's not food that's gone bad, but that meets health codes. But there is so much food that just, old bread that in other cultures and other communities in Italy, that's what you make soup from, right?
Yeah.
So how can we recapture some of that food that would otherwise be thrown away and repurpose it into something that is delicious and exciting for people to eat? And are we giving it to people that are hungry?
Or just go back to the earth.
Right. Well, you could go back to the earth. That's part of it.
Recycle
it
back into the earth.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. And composting certainly is a part of that cycle that we don't do as much here as I think we should.
The point is it shouldn't be going to the dumpster.
Yes.
Which means it goes to the landfill.
Right. But there's a lot of food that's wasted even before.
You're right.
Yes. The expiration date issue, there's all of that. But so there are some really exciting films that are coming out that are, again, kind of more topic specific and less kind of that general overview about climate change and which I think it's exciting. It's exciting to see how communities are coming together and really, acting locally because the government hasn't done enough in recent years to take action. I think in most conservation-minded community members' minds, and certainly with the current administration, we cannot look to the government to take care of us. I find hope in is that environmental organizations were best funded under Ronald Reagan. Because people knew the government wouldn't protect them, so they decided let's fund the organizations that will protect the interests that we find valuable. And so that's I think what we're certainly seeing now.
Yes,
and that communities from that trajectory are just saying if we can make an impact locally, then hopefully we can inspire other communities, and collectively we can have a global impact.
All right, and this film series will go a long way to help bring education and awareness. Associated with these efforts.
Well, thanks for bringing these films in. It is an awesome lineup. I'm hoping to make it to all three of the remaining films. We'll see if that comes to fruition.
We know you'll be at Rancher Farmer Fisherman, for sure.
I will absolutely be at one.
And we want to hear about Dusty Cray, who was amazing.
Waving my arm crazily at the end.
With all the questions.
Lots of questions, All right, Katie Wang, Executive Director of the Park City Film Series, thanks so much for joining us, as always.
Thanks for being here.
And we'll loop back with you and talk about what we learned from these films, too, and some of the action items that might come from them.
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, let's take another break for a couple sponsors and underwriters. And when we come back, we got our news items to cover.
That's right. We're going to talk a little bit more about how some federal funding might specifically impact environmental issues. I think we've been hearing about it in broad terms.
Right.
And it'll be good to know a little more specific.
And some encouraging news from Rocky Mountain Power about their plans to build a very, very large wind farm in southwestern Wyoming, and a couple other things, too, while we're at it.
That's right.
All right.
The highlights.
You bet. It's This Green Earth. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Brenda with Republic Services, your local source for recycling and garbage collection, and a proud sponsor of KPCW's This Green Earth. As you recycle, please remember, glass cannot go in your residential curbside recycling bin. Thank you for helping to keep Summit County clean and green. SummitCountyRecycles.org.
This is Allison Kulo with the Park City Chamber Bureau. Joining the Chamber Bureau provides your business with benefits, from lodging projections, educational videos, group sales leads, and a listing on the top travel site for Park City, and much more. Becoming a member of the Park City Chamber Bureau is a great investment for your business. Information on joining can be found at visitparkcity.com or call us at 649-6100. The Park City Chamber Bureau is a nonprofit organization and KPCW supporter.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to This Green Earth. I'm Nell Larson.
I'm Chris Cherniak.
And following up on the heels of all of those wonderful films with Katie Wang from the Park City Film Series, we wanted to touch on some of the other events that are coming up for Earth Day and Earth Month here in the area in case people are interested in participating.
There's quite a few.
Yeah, there's no shortage.
Where do we start?
Where do we start? So I'm going to start with Earth Day itself on April 22nd. There are a couple of climate marches taking place. There is one here in Park City. So the plan is this. Meet at the Brew Pub parking lot at 9 a.m.
9 a.m.
March down Main Street.
Down Main Street.
And then at 11:30, there will be speakers in the Santee Auditorium talking about science and talking about climate. And I'll read through that quickly here because it's a good lineup. The format for this is sort of 15-minute bursts. So each of these speakers will do a short talk, and then the next person will come up. There's Chris Johnson, the founding director of Science Computing and Imaging Institute, and he'll be talking about how data imaging is changing everything with some really cool visuals. Mariah Meyer, she's an astrophysicist and a U-Star rock star. She's a TED Fellow. She's on the MIT list of 100 most creative people in tech. She's a science writer for the Chicago Tribune, and she's a postdoc research fellow at Harvard. And she is going to be speaking second. Rob Davies, who's somebody who a lot of people in this community have probably heard from before, as they refer to him, he's Utah's darling for climate scientists, climate science. He's a physicist at Utah State University and co-creator of the Crossroads Project, which is performance art and communication in relation to science. Catherine Coles. So she comes from the arts, and she's Utah's poet laureate and director of the Harriet Monroe Poetry Institute. And she's going to be talking about her work and how that connects to the natural world and science. Rob McLeod, he's the associate director of the Nora Eccles Harrison Cardiovascular Research and Training Institute. So he's going to look at or be kind of explaining the complex systems in our bodies and how they're impacted.
And again, this
pollution.
Is all at the Santee Auditorium.
This is all at the Santee Auditorium.
Saturday.
Yeah, starting Saturday the 22nd, so on Earth Day.
But after the march,
right,
which starts at 9 a.m.
at the Brew Pub parking lot.
Top of Main Street. Mm-hmm. So this is the science scientist march.
Exactly.
A march for science.
Right, and I guess, stepping back to give a larger picture about these, these marches are obviously happening
all around the country.
All over the country. There's a huge one in D.C., and they've been popping up elsewhere.
And Salt Lake City's having a big one, too,
yep.
But if you don't want to go down there.
Yeah, you could do both, because that one's in the afternoon, so if you really want to go big. But the final speaker at Santee is Brian Mensch, who we were just talking about.
Yeah.
And he's the president of Utah Physicians for a Healthy Environment. And he actually was nominated by the Obama administration at a D.C. conference as one of 50 finalists to receive the Champion of Change Award for his work, which I had not realized. He does so much wonderful work here in Utah, and he was nationally recognized for that. So he'll be speaking. He's a great speaker, as Katie just mentioned.
And again, these are all like 15, 20 minutes.
Right. So this is not going to be less than 15 minutes.
Talking about the importance of science and what they're doing as scientists, researchers, technology, et cetera.
Yeah. So there's another climate march in Salt Lake. It runs from City Creek Park to the Capitol, and that one begins at 3 p.m. That is, again, April 22nd on Earth Day. Also on Earth Day, Recycle Utah has their annual fundraiser at the Wasatch Brew Pub, and that's from 6 to 9 p.m.
Right.
And so tickets for that are $35 per person, and there's a silent auction and all those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Over at the Swanner Eco Center, we have a special exhibit up right now, and there will be Earth Day crafts and activities for kids who come into the center on Earth Day if you want to do something local. Gosh, the list goes on and on. We spoke with, I should mention that we spoke with Breathe Utah, and they're having an Earth Day event, and that has actually been moved. The date for that has been changed to November. They're doing it in the fall.
Okay.
So take that one off the calendar.
All right. But, I mean,
there's a ton happening.
Just those activities.
Yeah.
And like you say, there's probably a few others.
Mm-hmm. The Urban Homesteading Expo in Salt Lake is
right.
also that day that we talked about. Yeah.
With Andrea Walker-Brava
yeah,
last week.
Yeah, the sustainability
week.
Event.
Okay.
Yeah.
So no shortage of things to do on Earth Day or that weekend to show your support for environmental causes and awareness.
Yeah.
And science.
Learn more, do something fun.
But this is also about science in general. And you know, it's in response to the potential cuts in funding to a lot of research,
mm-hmm.
not just like we talk about the EPA, mm-hmm. but the NIH and the CDC and all these other groups that do important work and research in the area of science and technology. So, all right, great to I'm going to be at that one. Why aren't you and I talking at this this event? About the importance of community service, citizen science and community service with respect to environmental.
You're right. It is critical. We depend on volunteers and people who donate their time.
We'll storm the stage after Brian talks and get in our
Perfect.
Few words. Yeah. Okay.
Don't be surprised if you see Chris elbowing his way up onto stage. Me too.
Shameless plug. All right. So that's the calendar of event activities.
Yeah. There's tons to do. So enjoy. Lots
right.
of fun stuff.
And all right, so we move
on. But speaking of funding cuts.
Funding cuts.
So
we have some specifics on what this administration plans on cutting, again, with respect to the EPA in different programs. And I'll just go quickly through them, just give you some numbers and such. Under climate protection, of course, there's no surprise that this administration, Scott Pruitt, the now head of the EPA, will target climate change initiatives. Many of the programs that fall under the $70 million climate protection program will probably be eliminated under this administration's proposal. One example is the Energy Star program for energy efficient televisions, washers, dryers, lights, consumer goods, etc. Companies actually like Energy Star because it helps gives their products a competitive edge and also helps them sell overseas, where the standard has been adopted by other countries and organizations like the European Union. So it helps set the bar.
Mm-hmm.
But under this administration, funding for that would be cut effectively to zero. Here's an interesting one. Endocrine disruptors. We've talked about endocrine disruptors mm-hmm. with Mike Lors and other guests about what they are and what they do and how these chemicals... estrogen-based chemicals get into our watershed and into our blood systems and how they might affect us. This proposed budget eliminates $6 million research and screening effort targeting endocrine disruptors. Ending the program would result in a loss of 9 jobs, but would curtail the agency's ability to review medical data and work with environmental lawyers to fashion an agency response to endocrine disruptor programs and such. Again, this is what Mike Lors does at East Canyon Creek. He's been doing research for years on endocrine disruptors in animal life.
In the fish in East Canyon Creek, yeah.
Right. And
that
funding would be at risk if not go away.
It's so interesting to me that it's not only the climate-specific pieces, but these things related to human health, personal health, and the environment as well.
It's all on the chopping block. There we go.
We've been doing this show for too long, Chris.
Superfund, of course, will get a huge 45% cut from $404 million per year to $221 million. And that includes Brownfields program, which I was told by some people say, oh, Scott Pruitt's a big fan of Brownfields. He's going to hold it. Well, yeah, he's a big fan that he's only going to cut that 30% instead of 45, from 48 to 33 million. The Clean Water Act and the tap water infrastructure programs addressing water systems in our country would be cut from $102 million to $71 million. And it would also cut jobs. Well, the overall cuts would be 31% to the EPA, from $8.1 billion to $5.7 billion, and it would also eliminate 15,000 jobs from the EPA.
Wow.
So these are huge cuts.
Yeah, I mean, along the same lines, the funding cuts proposed by the president's budget don't just hit the EPA. There are other sort of climate and science-based initiatives. In that budget, climate scientists, climate researchers definitely were focused on a paragraph that talked about eliminating four of NASA's climate science missions. So that includes instruments to study clouds, small airborne particles, the flow of carbon dioxide, and other elements of the atmosphere and oceans. So essentially, what's happening in our atmosphere, what's happening outside of the Earth itself, you know, above the Earth. One thing I found interesting is that they distinguish between NOAA and NASA. Hmm. So NOAA will receive continued funding, and that's not on the chopping block because that impacts our weather, right? We all go to them for weather, and we all understand the value of that data, our politicians included. And so that funding is still there. NASA's is looking to be NASA's will, you know, likely be cut. That's what was proposed. But at the same time, it's like the projects are not really that expensive in comparison to everything else going on. The savings from eliminating the Earth Science Program, which include those missions, would total $102 million out of a proposed agency budget of $19 billion. So you never know what will happen. This all has to go through Congress.
And to that point, interesting. Cutting the EPA's budget from $8.1 billion to $5.7 billion, that's what, $2.4 billion reduction? 15,000 jobs lost. Mm-hmm. That $2.4 billion would support the funding for the Department of Defense for about a day and a half.
Right. When you compare it to other areas of our operations and government, it's
now one enforcement activity that could be set for an increase at the EPA is ready for this. It's security for Scott Pruitt. The agency has asked for 10 additional full-time staff members for around-the-clock security detail, a first for an EPA chief who usually has only door-to-door protection, and more than doubling the agency's infrastructure and operations staff. So 15,000 people will lose their jobs, but 10 of them will stay to help provide additional security.
Additional security to prove it.
For this year.
Oh, boy.
All right. So that's the proposed budget cuts at the EPA. Let's turn to some good news, in a sense, from Rocky Mountain Power.
That's right. This is exciting.
All right. The state's largest provider of electricity said it plans to build a $3.5 billion wind generation and transmission project in southwestern Wyoming over the next 3 years. And this is big. This is an 1,100-megawatt facility, and it will increase the utility's total generation capacity by 10%. The construction of roughly 440 wind turbines will be accompanied by a 140-mile transmission line built between the Jim Bridger Power Plant in southwestern Wyoming and Medicine Bow, Wyoming. And so here's the thing, 1,100 megawatts, just to give you a sense of how big it is. Rocky Mountain Power's largest coal-fired power plant is the Jim Bridger facility at 1,400 megawatts. The second largest plant is the Hunter facility at 1,100 megawatts. This will now be their third largest, in effect, energy, electricity-producing facility after those two coal-fired power plants. So it will make a big difference. As they say, currently wind power represents 15% of the utility's total capacity, and it will increase their – I'm trying to find here, sorry. It'll increase their wind production by 20% overall, their energy from wind by 20%. That's big. And now, what does it mean locally? It means that we'll be getting more of our electricity from a renewable source, some percentage of it. The majority of it still comes from coal and natural gas, but we'll see an incremental shift to more wind and solar And that helps Park City in their efforts to become net zero, because they're getting more of their energy matrix is coming from wind, this 1,100 megawatt. And why did they do it? Well, they did it because...
just going to interview yourself. Why was that, Chris?
No, well,
no, it's a
they
great
did
question,
it because
though,
of the tax credits that are going to go away for wind farms in the next 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. So they had no plans to do this, but when they realized that the tax credits associated with building a wind farm are going to be retired around 2020, they decide we better do this now and at least get the tax credits for it. So that's good news from Rocky Mountain Power. It's going in the right direction. All right. Okay. Anything else? Because we got to wrap up. We don't have time now.
Summit County Resource Management Plan is currently out for comment. And I know that that does include some information on renewable energy, but it also hits every environmental topic under the sun that you can imagine here in the county. And that's on Summit County's website.
Right.
You can review that for the next couple of days. So just head to summitcounty.org or Google Summit County Resource Management Plan and weigh in on that.
Perfect.
All right, we fit it in. Time to wrap up.
We'll be right back.
Support for KPCW programming has been provided by the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance, a nonprofit organization dedicated to protecting Utah's remaining Red Rock Wilderness lands. SUWA and Utah's Red Rock Wilderness need your support now more than ever. To learn more about how you can become involved, please visit the SUWA website at suwa.org. Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided in part by AMA Waterways and Park City Air, Cruise, and Travel, 565-4730, parkcityaircruiseandtravel.com. Long, Reimer, Weiniger, Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, lrw-law.com, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.
Time to wrap things up. Let's thank our sponsors and underwriters who make the show possible. They include
Recycle Utah,
Republic Services,
Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance,
Vail Epic Promise,
Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties,
San Francisco Design,
and Park City Mountain.
Of course, you can always join us and like us on Facebook at KPCW This Green Earth.
Most importantly, we'd love to hear your thoughts,
yes,
comments, and ideas for future shows at thisgreenearth@kpcw.org.
Remember, this is KPCW 91.7 FM, Park City. We've got your Wasatch back. Thanks again. NPR News is coming up.